How is it that people come into contact with Jesus? How does someone go from not really knowing about Jesus, not really caring about Jesus, to becoming a disciple, a follower of Jesus? How does someone go from having no allegiance to Christ and His church to becoming a member of the body of Christ? How does one go from being simply a stone in the edifice of the church to becoming a living stone? How does one take on this living work of offering spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable through Jesus Christ? The road to conversion and the path to becoming a friend of Jesus is obviously a little bit different for each one of us. Some of us were born into a family that shares this message of Jesus with us and has raised us in that. Some of us have come to follow Christ later in life by a decision. Some have labored over this decision with a lot of, you know, angst and kind of suffered through that decision. Should I do this? And for others, it's the most natural thing in the world to live as a Catholic. Knowing our own experience, our faith journey, you might say, is a really important thing. And it's a notable point of our journey. And it's a helpful piece of testimony for us to know that. We are our own experts of our own journey. So we can speak from expert knowing of our lives. In Acts of the Apostles today, we heard that there was some tension in the early church community. The apostles were doing good work. They were caring for the needs of the people, the community, those who needed help. They were serving a table and probably managing the basic needs of the community. But they recognized that this was not their primary work. This wasn't the primary work that Jesus had given to them. He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Making disciples, baptizing. So taking care of the temporal needs of the community, this is important work. This incident prompts the apostles to bring forth this order of the diaconate to assist them in caring for the works of charity. They recognize that they're called primarily to preach, to proclaim the good news, the gospel, and to hand on that faith. They say, "It is not right for us to neglect the word of God to serve at table. Select, therefore, from among you seven reputable men filled with the Spirit and wisdom, whom we shall appoint to this task." So the charitable works of the church are very important, right? Part of the Catholic Church's history has always been having these charitable works, these different ways that we reach out to the world around us. And we see this currently, we see it historically, it's part of who we are. The reputation of the early church spoke of this. So often people were called and sort of prompted to make that decision to become Catholic, Christian at that time, as Christian was all Catholics, was that witness of the early church. That was a foundation that people looked at their lives and said, "Hey, these Christians are different. They do something. I want to follow that. I want to do that too." So in our day, too, charitable work is important. It remains important, and it's a facet of the church. But it must always be done in conjunction with the preaching of the authentic Christian message. And at times, I think there's been sort of two extremes that have undercut the effective sharing of the authentic Catholicism of our time. One extreme would be a sort of social justice church, where we are very concerned with social issues, serving the poor, trying to find ways of assisting those who are less privileged. And this can get too focused on, you might say, political activism or sort of trying to do things ourselves. These are things that are obviously good, right? We want to do these things. And in the right context, they are good. But if we remove them from the voice, the authentic voice of Christ, they can become sort of a man-made movement. And we try to save ourselves, in a sense. Or we sort of try to create our own paradise. And we look to this movement of sort of social activism rather than to Christ for salvation. So that's a problem. That's one extreme. The other extreme would be a sort of, I would maybe call it like a sort of a dogmatism or a pious dogmatism, where we focus only on knowing the right things, the right truths, the right teachings of the church. And this can lead to a very sort of judgmental Catholicism. We see all the problems of those around us, right? And we fail to have compassion. We fail to assist them. The teachings of Catholicism are beautiful and they're rich, but when they're removed from mercy and compassion, they can be a great barrier to those who are outside of the church. So we need to reach out to them. So true Catholicism has both the dogmatic truths that are handed on by Christ and his apostles, and it also has the charitable works that Christ and the early church exemplify. If we are to become the living stones that Peter talks about today, we must strive to live this fullness of the truth, fullness of the faith. He says, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the whole purpose of the church, why we exist, is to bring others to know Christ. We must then be turned outward to the world and work to bring people to Christ. And that's why the apostles asked for help in carrying out these charitable works, because they needed to spend the majority of their time in prayer and preaching and proclaiming the message of who Jesus is. Jesus himself says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ. And this should motivate us, right? It should fill our hearts with a desire to share who Jesus is, to share our own experiences, our own journeys with others, to be free to talk about those things, to share the joy of it. Apart from Christ, there's no truth, there's no way to heaven, and there's no life after death. How many people believe that? How many people are living in a way that reflects this? Not enough. Not enough. Not as many as could be. Therefore, we have a great deal of work ahead of us, a great opportunity to be evangelists, those who share the good news of Jesus. So may Christ enlighten our minds and our hearts to see the ways that he is calling us to respond in faith to the living, the fullness of our faith.